This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. Throughout this week, our Project Milwaukee series, What's on Our Plate, has been examining the importance of food and food-related businesses to Wisconsin's economy. More than 350,000 jobs, about 10% of the state's workforce, depends in some way on agriculture. But for people who aspire to starting their own food-related businesses, the challenges can be daunting. Issues such as developing a business plan, obtaining the raw materials, and acquiring the proper licenses to process and sell food products can deter or derail a would-be entrepreneur. But around Wisconsin and the country, a growing phenomenon is helping small food businesses get off the ground. Food business incubators, sometimes called kitchen incubators, allow aspiring business owners a chance to sample the food business in a less risky environment. One pioneering facility is the Wisconsin Innovation Kitchen in the community of Mineral Point, southwest of Madison. Rick Tarian is the executive director of the Iowa County Economic Development Corporation, one of the main drivers behind the project. The kitchen opened in July of this year, and Tarian told Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke why it's unique.
It's owned by the Hodan Center, which is a center supporting adults with disabilities. And when I got out to Iowa County and started looking around for economic development success stories, you know, you look at the usual suspects, but you don't normally look at a center for adults with disabilities as an economic development success story. They had started their own food line about 8 years ago as a source of work for their client employees and a source of revenue. And without really tooting their own horn very loud, they've gotten their product lines, which are about 150 products now, they've got them into 700 stores in 26 states. It's a big, very cool story. They had a fast food facility that they had used over the years for a work center for their adults to help and a revenue source and a community interaction source.
This was a Dairy Queen.
It was a Dairy Queen, right. And it was open for 22 years. It was a big success. It was the first fast food franchise in the United States owned by a center for adults with disabilities. It's a very progressive outfit running this, the Hodan Center. But the highway bypassed them, and they lost their traffic count. And the building had been closed for about 3 years and tried to sell it. And in this economy, nobody's buying anything. And so the light bulbs went on. They went out and did some fundraising. The state of Wisconsin Department of Commerce gave them $750,000 grant. They fundraised another $750,000 from the community and opened $1.5 million, 10,000-square-foot food processing facility to serve their own needs, but then to offer that food entrepreneur capacity to the rest of the community in the state.
So this is not your, if you will, run-of-the-mill incubator kitchen. This is an incubator kitchen that actually has a staff.
It is, in fact, the only one in the United States. So incubator kitchens, one way to say these, the shared-use kitchens is another. This is the only shared-use kitchen in the United States that we can find that actually has a staff in it. So instead of you and I, Mitch, going in at 11 o'clock at night and making jam or crackers, you can give them a recipe. And they will do it all for you from beginning to end. They'll buy the ingredients. They'll prep it. They will prepare that recipe. They'll package it. They'll label it. They'll store it. They'll even ship it for you. And we can even help sell it, get it into some distribution channels, although that's not a guarantee, but we can move this process along. It's the only one we know of in the United States that'll do this.
Well, and so then who are the kinds of people and what are the kinds of businesses that are putting this kitchen to work?
Well, the way most folks program these kind of kitchens when they open them up is to try to get as many individual entrepreneurs like you or I, Mitch, to go in. And we do have a number of those. We've got probably a dozen that have become certified and trained to work in a commercial kitchen, and they're making their own food products. Anything from granolas and crackers to we've got some jams. I've got a salsa going through there.
These are people who say, you know, they've been making salsa at home and they give it to a neighbor. The neighbor thinks, wow, this is really good. You should sell this. And they're looking at scaling it up.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And so they can, if they're certified and meet the requirements, they can rent the kitchen on an hourly basis. But what is even more unique is where we're really trying to program this facility is to use its unique capabilities of having a built-in staff. So we go out and we talk to existing food businesses, restaurants, small food manufacturers, family farms. No one considers them entrepreneurs. They're more entrepreneurial than most of us by a long shot. We tell those good folks to do value-added agriculture, you know, do something special to your heirloom tomatoes or your specialty pears, but we don't give them the tools to do it with. So in this sense, we can take in their crop or take in their recipes and make it and brand it for them. And that's where the real growth of the facility is coming from.
Where does the artisan food career program differ from the everything else that you do?
Well, that's a specialty program that we're using for people that want to go into a food business, become a food entrepreneur, but they are really starting from scratch, and they don't want to take the time to learn every single step for themselves. And they can hire the kitchen to do all of the steps we've just talked about, but I tie it into a business coursework that we can deliver over the internet and by phone that'll take people through those initial steps of gearing themselves up to be a legal food entrepreneur. And in fact, so you can use this kitchen and live anywhere in the state or really anywhere in the country to start your own food business and treat this good facility as your back office. You can just live wherever you are. I've got a lady in Lake Havasu, Arizona. We are her complete total food processing back office. We do the processing and packaging and labeling. She is in Arizona, just does the marketing and the money, and it's a perfect little fit. She runs a virtual food business from Arizona, and we get to make jobs in Wisconsin and utilize our Wisconsin-grown foods.
How many people are on the staff?
There's 7 or 8 that are fully certified. That means they're certified and inspected by the state of Wisconsin, that are licensed to be food processors. Anything that they make can be sold anywhere in the United States. They supervise the operation. The Hodan Center itself, about 120 adults with disabilities come into their work centers every day. About 10 or 11 of those folks come on up and work in the food facility on a daily basis. Just depends on what's going through the plant at any one time. And they generally will work in labeling and packaging.
Can you talk about the economics of how this works for the would-be entrepreneur? Are they paying a set fee to have these services performed, or is it a shared profit? Does the Innovation Kitchen get a cut from every jar of salsa or every jar of tomato sauce that's sold, or how does it work?
That's a good model, and someday we may try to implement something like that, but we're trying to keep it very simple right now, and we do it on a flat fee. So generally, the food entrepreneur will supply the ingredients, and we'll supply the jar and the packaging if they have a special label requirement, and most folks do. They'll supply their own label. And then just depend on the complexity of the recipe, they'll just be charged for however many cases they want to make. This is the term of art in the food business is called co-packing, where you have someone else make and package your recipe. There are a number of those facilities around, but you have to order $15,000 or $20,000 at a time, a semi-load of these things. What's really unique about the Innovation Kitchen is that you can run experiments in food entrepreneurship and not spend the kids' college money on this thing, and make a few cases at a time. Take it out and test market it. See how it'll run. And then if you decide to run it up, you will make larger and larger portions. And eventually, if you need to graduate out to an external co-packer, then good on you. We've created another great new Wisconsin business.
But if you decide not to scale up that far, can this be a long-term business model? This is not something that you're forced to graduate from?
Exactly right. And in fact, I've got a number of people who are gearing up to just run their businesses out of this place for the foreseeable future.
Can you talk about some of the kinds of foods that go into the kitchen and products that come out?
Well, I'll tell you one that surprised us. You know, this is a startup like any startup, so things happen that no one expects, and you expect to turn left and you end up going right. A beautiful piece of this has been a local pasta maker in Madison. It's a iconic small business out this way. It's RP Pastas, a wonderful operation. They had been processing their own vegetables to use as fillers in the ravioli and tortellinis, and they're pasta makers. They really are not all that enthusiastic about becoming vegetable processors at the same time. They were forced to, you know, become ever more vertically integrated when they really wanted to do what they did best. So they've come out and inspected the facility and talked it over with the staff, and we started processing. For them, in the fall, largely pumpkin and squash. They make a pumpkin and a squash ravioli that is just fabulous. And that's been going through the system at significant quantities. It's not just RPs, but a number of other small food manufacturers have been asking us to just pre-process locally grown vegetables to put into their process. I just had a discussion with some folks, and we had to go add up the number of pounds of vegetables that have gone through that facility in the first 3 months, and it's well over 25,000 pounds of local produce.
Wow.
That had never been purchased before or had come off a truck from California.
Well, and so let's say you're a would-be entrepreneur from Milwaukee or from Lake Havasu City, Arizona, and you've contracted with the Innovation Kitchen. You're responsible for providing the raw ingredients, but does the Innovation Kitchen provide some kind of service in terms of how you might go about finding some of these local ingredients?
Absolutely. That's something we can do. And in fact, because the Innovation Kitchen has such a significant product line itself, they buy just a lot of things. You know, people will want their own specialty ingredients for their recipe, certainly, but there's a lot of bulk commodities, sugar and pectin and jars and labels, that kind of thing, that the Innovation Kitchen buys a significant amount. So you can use them as a purchasing service. They add a couple of percent to support the Hodan Center, but you can still buy it significantly less expensively than you could even buying in bulk on your own.
And to take that example, that hypothetical further, if you're an entrepreneur from, say, Milwaukee, do you go out to the kitchen itself as the first batch is being run to make sure this tastes the way you expected it to taste?
In fact, I insist on that. Before we get to a commercial run, this food business is complex. There's a lot of regulations and there's a lot of variables. And so as an entrepreneur myself trying to explain that to the world, we've designed about a four-step process. And Mitch, you put your finger on a key one there. We'll make a small test batch at a small commercial scale. You and I may make the best peach mango jam on the planet, but in quarts on our stovetop. But if you make 15 gallons of it, it might taste like shoe leather. And so what we'll do is run that first batch. We have the entrepreneur approve it. And if they're distant, we can ship it to them. And our own kitchen staff will get a chance to judge if they've quoted this outright, the time, if they've included the right amount of time and the processing steps. And if it's a hermetically sealed product, like a salsa or something that's canned, that has to get, and it's a pH, an acidified food, like a salsa, that processing step has to get approved by the state of Wisconsin. You need their approval to sell it. So we utilize this one simple first test to satisfy those three stakeholders, the entrepreneur, the kitchen staff, and the state. If everybody puts their thumb up after that, we're off to the first commercial batch. That doesn't have to be something, again, where you've got the farm, but you're more confident in making a little larger run of it so you can then take it out and start doing your test marketing.
Well, there must be something of a thrill for you and anybody that's involved in this Innovation Kitchen, that when you're walking down the aisles of a grocery store or you're at a farmer's market or whatever and you see something that's been produced in this very kitchen.
I can't tell you. The other day it happened, there was a gentleman in processing in the kitchen, and I went to my local grocery store the next day, and he's standing there with sampling with a big crowd around him. It was really cool.
What was he making?
In his case, it was a crackers and a granola, and they're just wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the story of the Wisconsin Innovation Kitchen, and hope we can talk again. Best of luck.
Well, we invite everybody to come on out for a visit, and we're looking forward to helping them become food entrepreneurs.
Rick Tarian is the executive director of the Iowa County Economic Development Corporation in Mineral Point. His office is in the building that houses the Wisconsin Innovation Kitchen, one of a growing number of food business incubators in Wisconsin. Tarian spoke with Mitch Teich. There's a link to more on food business incubators from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, we profile a local business that manufactures equipment that allows other companies to make food. We visit Schenck Accurate when Lake Effect returns in a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.